Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're back, we're black, we're brand ambition.
Hey, Mandra, how are you?
Hi.
Aw, what's going on, Mandra? Where are your curls? I feel like your high is like, is being reflected in your curls not being here.
I blow dried my hair yesterday.
It's so long though.
Didn't recognize me.
No, yeah.
He's just now like he's like almost 10 months. But yeah, this is the time when it's like stranger danger. And also he recognizes faces and stuff. Uh-huh. And the way that he just looked at me like I was a stranger picking him up at daycare yesterday, it was pretty sad. Even when I got right in his face, he's just like...
Yo,
smells
did
like
you see
mama.
Like the you see the clips where like the babies where the dads shave off their beard and their mustache?
That's exactly what the effect must be for him. Because I didn't even have it down. I just had it like a back all the way and like a slick pony. He's like anyway. I've really been trying to like get my energy up, but today is just not it. But I'm gonna push through.
Come through, queen. You cute either way, curls or not.
Thanks. But yeah, life is just lifing so hard, and it's very adult, and it's very much not backing down. So that's all. Just a lot of shit going on. I'm headed to Georgia again tomorrow.
Okay.
Because my dad, I'm going to go visit him. The way I could probably have bought like a couple of European vacations for the amount of airfare to spend going to Georgia. But yeah, I'm taking the big kid, taking Rio with me this time.
Okay.
But yeah, and I'm like behind on taxes and stuff. It's a bummer over here. I don't want to.
Are you an S-Corp? Is Mandy Moneymakers, is that an S-Corp? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, because the S-Corp taxes were due last Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, I already filed an extension for that, all that stuff.
But like, did you make a payment? Because have you been paying quarterly?
I don't want to talk about it, Tiffany.
Okay, my bad. I mean, you know, because for Brown Ambition, it doesn't have to talk about it. But if just so you know, we're talking about that personal taxes. The due date is April, 15th, 14th? I can't remember. One of them April's days. You know, we all have tax day. But if you have an S Corp, which is a type of business entity, also a type of way that your company is taxed, I suspect Mandy's company is set up like me, which is the underlying company is an LLC. Yes. But the way we're taxed is an S Corp, which all it means is if you are a, like, for example, Brown Ambition is not an S Corp. It is an LLC, which is the underlying company, and it's a partnership. So that just means it's just me and Mandy in it. And we pay taxes differently. But with an S Corp, you are actually not an employee. You are an employee of your business once you become an S Corp. So if you have a sole proprietorship or you have a partnership, then you basically, they consider you self-employed. And then there's self-employment taxes that will come into play. Once you become an S Corp or C Corp, they say, no, you're not self-employed. You're an employee of that company. And typically you get to S Corp, you start to look at S Corps when you get to about six figures or more in business, you start to consider doing an S Corp because the self-employment tax is not to pay it, it's not worth it at that level of income. So you're like, oh, maybe I'll switch to an S Corp now so I can be an employee of my business. The thing is, because you're still an LLC, what happens is that the money, it's a pass-through entity. So what that means is that your business makes money. Let's just say your business makes $100,000. Woohoo. Then your business makes $100,000, but then spends $100,000 in order to, $50,000 in order to navigate business. That's how much payroll, your website, all that stuff is $50,000. And let's just say you say, I want to keep the other 50 in the business for next year because I have some big projects. The government says, that's cute. But just so you know, that 50 that you didn't spend on business passes through to your personal taxes. So whether you take the money out or not, you're going to have to pay $50,000. You're going to have to pay taxes on the $50,000 because whatever's left over in the business passes through onto you. And so the way my business is set up, and I suspect most people's, is that whatever the, let's just say the taxes on the 50 is $20,000. My business will give me the $20,000. So if I keep $50,000 in the business will have to give me 20 of that 50 because the government wants their taxes and it'll keep the 30 to what do whatever work. Because even though I didn't take it, it wasn't spent. So taxes need to be paid on it. And so that's what last Friday, I can't remember whatever day of the week, that was last Friday, S-Corp taxes were due. That means you're supposed to have filed them, which you could certainly file an extension, but they don't give you an extension on payment. So you have to have paid something. Now, if you're doing the S-Corp right, you're paying quarterly. That means every quarter you're making a payment. So even so, I didn't have anything I owed on Friday because every quarter I've been making my payment. So that way, this is kind of like the wrap it up. It was like, oh, Tiffany, well, you know what? You've been paying every quarter. You good. That's just for our business girlies who listen to understand. Because the truth of the matter is most businesses that go under or have a hard time, it's really like the back end stuff that kind of gets you. Not that you're not good at cooking or baking or...
You're I'm sorry, Mandy. Me the fuck out. I said I didn't want to talk about it.
I was talking about it to you. I was telling the girlies.
I know, but like, period. I don't want to talk about it.
All right, girls, we're going to wrap that up. And that concludes the business portion of the show. My bad. I just wanted to, I didn't want the girlies to be like, I don't know what these things mean.
And so I know. I don't care about the girlies right now. I'm so sorry. Tired.
All right, we're going to focus here. Okay.
I'm just kidding. I care about the girlies. I'm sorry. I just hate when I can't give anything on the other side of a conversation and you deserve better.
No, it's okay. I mean, I think you did, which is real, which is girl. You know, you already know my tax issues, girl. I have made so many tax mistakes. It's cost me. Remember I told you I probably paid about seven figures in, oops, I made a mistake again, tax mistakes. Because there was 2 or 3 years in a row when the way we were doing taxes was incorrect and wrong. And as a result, up until I think 2022, I finally got my last final, you know, you get out of jail free. Like, and it was a $250,000 bill and I almost broke my soul. But we finally paid it, and I think we're finally on the up and up. So I just say all that to say is that, you know, there isn't a mistake I ain't made. And the reason why I had to learn is because I made every mistake possible, you know? And so I just don't want the girlies to have to make those mistakes because it was really, really, really costly and stressful. But, you know, you live and you learn. You hope you live to see another day. Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Oh, can I? Can we? If we want to talk about something fun, you want to talk about the White House?
Mm-hmm.
So, Mandy called me yesterday. Wait, what were you calling me for? Just to say hey?
Yeah, I guess so.
No, I don't know.
It was Monday. Oh, it's like, yeah, morning. It was like, yeah, I was dropping off the kiddos. I was like, I usually picture you on a little walkie walk.
Oh, yeah, usually.
That time
yeah,
of day.
Yeah. So Mandy called me, but
you
I was,
weren't on a little walkie-walk. No. I forgot what you just told me. Duh.
No, I didn't mind.
But I'm like, so excited. Tell me about everything.
So when Mandy called me, I was literally running late because I was getting dressed to go back to the White House. As you know, it's in March is International Women's History Month. That's what March is. Mm-hmm. I believe March 8th is International Women's Day. Like, but anyway, so I got invited back to the White House for a reception. And there were, I don't know, at least 100, maybe 200 women there from all over the country, all these different industries, doctors, attorneys, nonprofit workers. It was amazing. It was just a room full of just amazing women and everybody was so nice. You know, sometimes you go in these rooms and everybody's so important and the CEO of this or whatever, and they don't speak. That was not the case. Everyone was so nice. It was a super diverse group. Some women were disabled, Black, Brown, Asian, every type of woman, young, like, older, just everything. And so they invited us, one, to network with each other, which was really awesome. They had these little hors d'oeuvres, which I was like, the White House be light on the food. I got to thank me so many people. We got to
so
hear
it wasn't
from,
like a sit-down thing. It was like a...
No.
I did see your stories this time.
Yes. No, it wasn't a sit-down thing. It was so, for example, Kamala, our, you know, first... our vice president, she spoke, as did Maria Shriver, who's a big woman's advocate. The president was there as well, and he spoke, as well as Dr. Jill Biden, and she spoke too, which was really cool to see them all.
Yeah, I've
never
seen
the
crew there.
Yeah, right? So the reason why they were all there, they kind of gathered us, is because the president just signed, let me find what it was. He just signed, it wasn't into law, but he signed the most comprehensive, let me see. What was it? March.
If it wasn't a Family Paid Leave and Child Care Act, I don't get it.
No, it was a woman's, let me see. So I'm looking at the whitehouse.gov. He signed an executive order on advancing women's health research and innovation. So there were a lot of doctors in the room. And so it is the largest executive order. So he talked about like that. And many of us know this, but women suffer from so many health ailments that are just like doctors ignore, especially Black and Brown women. The mortality rates for Black women when it comes to giving birth are just astronomical in comparison to anybody else. I remember, do you ever see that documentary with Serena Williams? Talks about
where she had a pulmonary embolism while giving birth, and they were just like, meh. She almost died.
Yes, but she knew her body. And she was like, yeah, I'm not going home. I need an MRI. They're like, oh, whiny, whiny Black lady. Serena the Williams. And so she insisted. And sure enough, they're like, hey, I think I see a blood clot, girl. If you had gone home, you would have been dead. Are you freaking kidding me? Serena. Maria Shriver shared a story how her mother, who was the President Kennedy's sister, John F. Kennedy, his Eunice, suffered from gut issues, all these issues. And she was really having a hard time. So she really pushed her brother to try to get legislation passed to help women with whatever their health ailments, what they were struggling with. And her doctors, meanwhile, this is the sitting president's sister. And they're like, maybe you need to rest. Maybe you need to lie down. So if the president's sister could not get adequate health care, like that's crazy. If Serena Williams is ignored. And so that's what this executive order aims to remedy. It's about women's health and research and innovation. And they talked everything about like endometriosis and how it affects Black and brown women at higher levels than any other population. Talked about that most studies that are done now are done on men. They literally did this study, Maria Shriver shared, that where women, they noticed that when women are going through menopause, there's an uptick in them having heart attacks. And they said, wow, so there, maybe it's tied to estrogen, like why men or why heart attacks happen. Let's do a study of what happens when estrogen levels drop. And it was like, I think they said like 1400 participants in the study, not one woman. So you're doing estrogen study and no women. And like same thing, like, you know, a woman, when you're having a heart attack, like the symptoms that they tell you to look out for, those are men's symptoms. We don't have those symptoms. You know, when you are struggling with mental health, like young girls who have ADHD or who, what is the one where you have trouble reading? Dyslexia. It looks different in girls, but the symptoms that they look out for are attributed to boys. And so we are left behind when it comes to health research. And this executive order would, I can't remember how many billions of dollars it would allocate toward the expansion of like, of innovation and what did I say?
I'm tired too.
And research on women's health. So that part, I thought this was really great. So I'm not really sure what executive order means, by being honest. I'm like, is it a law or no? So I'm assuming.
Yeah, executive order. I mean, that's the thing, though, is it like Congress holds the purse strings. So it could just be, you know, these holidays, the president's always like doing symbolic shit.
Yes.
Like to like say he was doing symbolic shit. I don't know. I'm a little like pessimistic about lots of stuff. I mean, I feel like if we're not focusing on, I mean, that I'm sure, yes, it's important. It's super important. But I'm just like, where's the ceasefire in Gaza? And it makes me so, I just don't know. I just, you know, it makes me so feel so powerless and so sad. I'm just like, humans' capacity to just inflict pain and torture on one another. And it's just like, and the world spins on and everything seems so dark and twisty. And it is like everything. There is so much, there is a lot of good and all of that. But I think I'm just in one of those spaces, you know, where like, you know, the fog is descending, like the fog, you know what I mean? I've talked about my fog before. I'm in a fog and everything seems very sad and everything is very sad and everything is scary. And there's like, it's the kind of thing where it just makes me want to crawl inside of my own body and just like not poke my head up, which is really hard when we do the stuff that we do right now. But like, even just thinking about healthcare and like everything going on with my dad lately, I don't want to talk about too much about like the specific stuff going on with him, but he was in the hospital for several weeks and he had a huge operation, and it was, I think, one of the hardest things about having my dad in a hospital setting is that he is like the textbook picture of someone who would be probably neglected in a healthcare setting typically. When you think about his age, his race, his orneriness. Like, he's not, you know, and it's sad to think that like you think you have to like, you know, worry about that. But I went in there, like I was spending nights in the hospital just to make sure that I could be the like his publicist, like, oh, hello, yes, this is my father. Here are all the great things about him that you should know so that you give a damn during this like 12-hour shift. And you don't just like, you know, like, you know, we had a nurse who kept giving him really strong, like opioids, even though he hadn't asked for them. And it was very much like, we're in the ICU. I just want this patient to go to sleep. Like, it was that kind of vibe. And like, I just saw, and like the stress of it all, I think what's happening is that the processing, like the, you know, like you were just in it.
Yeah.
But the processing, I think, is all right now. And I think, at the same time, there's part of me that's like, oh, shut up. People have way worse going on, and people have sick parents in the hospital and like sick babies and all that going on. But it was
two things can like, be true, Mandy.
A jillion things can be true.
Yeah. At and the same time, meaning that like somebody could have a sick baby and also not or and also you're worried about your dad and rightfully so. It doesn't diminish that.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't. And even with like, there were three of us, my brother, my sister and I. And even then it still felt like there were things that happened that were not, I think we were just like really, we were so obsessed with trying to control and be not control in the sense that like take decisions away from him, but like understand everything and be sure we were in the room and available and like, you know, make sure we were on speakerphone if a doctor walked in and like checking on his charts online and making sure all that stuff is squared away. And we're all in, we're in three different states, mind you. And getting all to Georgia and all that stuff. And like, it still feels like we're not entirely out of the woods and it's not even, it's just gonna, yeah, there's more, like it's gonna be an ongoing kind of thing. But if there's one, I'll stop this like train that I'm on. But if there's one thing that I keep thinking about, like what's a lesson that I've learned when it comes to health? And I really like to your point about knowing your symptoms and knowing your body and advocating. I've always heard that advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's almost too general the thing to say to people. What I would say is don't trust the person in the room like Bible. Like the person who's in the room, because like, for example, my dad would be seen by maybe like 8 specialists a day. I'm not even exaggerating, like 8 specific healthcare people a day during their shift. And then a new shift would start and they would come in again. It'd be like respiratory, cardio, pulmonology, nephrology, OT, PT, like all these different people, the general provider, like, and they'd all make comments like, oh, this, oh, that, here's what you can expect. Yeah, I think he needs XYZ. And we would be like jerked in all these different like emotions and directions. Well, the person who came in earlier just said this thing and they're like, who dat? Because they don't even like speak to one another that often. You know, they're all like on their own different silos. So I think I could have saved some, we could have saved like probably some stress and like some worrying if we had just been like, okay, so this is what this person is saying based on like the last 3 minutes they spent in his room. We have to sort of like connect all the dots together and just understand that things can change. And even though you think, you know, for sure what the next like day is going to look like or what recovery will look like and all of that, like even then it can change and it's always going to be changing. And keep asking the same questions again, questions of different people, force them to talk to each other if you have to, because a lot of them, especially in a hospital, they're just coming in and out and they don't have, even if they have their whole chart in front of them, they don't spend time reading everything before they come into the room. They don't have the time. It's shortages and all that. So I feel like for 100%, if you're going to be in a hospital setting, call anyone, anyone, a neighbor, even, you know, to be there with you to help ask those questions. And like, if you don't have family, like friends, whoever, just don't go into that situation alone, like my dad did to start with, because that is the kind of stubborn old he is. But don't be alone and, you know, and do your best. And then what I'm working on now is just like the processing afterward of all that. And like, it's just life is life. And I'm in my concealer era. A lot of concealer went into today's face.
Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
I like to say, like, it's true. So y'all know my mom's a nurse, and like, I remember some time ago, because she's the type of like, I'm not feeling well. She'll drive her own self to the emergency room. You're like, where's mommy? At the emergency room? You're like, what? And so she went to the emergency room because she was like, oh, I'm getting tingling in my arm. Let me make sure that it's nothing super serious. So she went. And they did some tests. It wasn't a stroke or anything. She gets physical therapy for like a slip disc. And she's going to be like, tell all my damn business.
I know. It's so weird, right? Because like they don't listen. But also, I know. Just,
so if you know my mom, please don't tell her.
She'd be so mad.
Don't tell her. So anyway, it was
she. Don't tell me you got a dad. Don't tell him I exist.
So it's because she gets physical. Because of her physical therapy, I think basically her physical therapist, and you know how you get the deep massage if you guys have ever gotten physical therapy. The deep massage after, I think they did put too much pressure in it, like basically pinched a nerve or whatever. So that's why she was having like some issue like with her hand, her arm. So it wasn't a stroke or anything. But what was so crazy, okay. I said, this ain't Sylvia. So we go to visit her. She's all like sitting in the bed, like, do-do-do-do. And like, she's like, ooh, when you go to the house, bring me my stretch pants and bring me. I said, you seem in good spirits. And she was like, yeah, I'm fine. You know, they found out that it was like the physical therapist went a little too hard, but I had them, because my mother as a nurse was like, I had them run this test, because she knew what to ask for.
Yeah.
And she knew exactly what to do. And so much so, Mandy, that when we got to the room, this woman had, I said, what is this printout? And she said, oh, this is my health plan. Because she said, I asked the doctor, can I get a printout of my health plan in like 16 font? Because, you know, everybody got to get bigger. The lady had highlight and red marker. I'm not taking that medicine. Because this is for people who have seizures. I'm not too. Mm. I was like you said, this sense of like, if they say it, it's Bible. But because she was a nurse, she's like, that's not true. So she's asking every question. But I wouldn't have known. I would have like, I said, how would you? She's like, no, I know. This medication, it can help for this, but it's a little overdoing it. You know? So she was like, I'm not going to take this. This is too high. This is too low. Da-da-da-da. And I said, but the way the nurses treated her, because they said, there's somebody in the room who obviously used to be a nurse, who she doesn't always let people know that she's been a nurse whenever she is in a hospital setting. And because they also knew, she knew exactly what they were supposed to be doing. So the way, hi, how are you? You know, everybody was on their best behavior because nobody wants to be sued by somebody who knows what you're supposed to have been doing. Like when I press this call button, there's a certain amount of time you're supposed to take before you get there. When my uncle was in the hospital, my mother said, put me on speaker, press the call button. And she timed it. And when the nurse came in, she got on the phone. She was like, you took 10 minutes to come. You were supposed to. They were like, oh, you have a medical professional in your family. And so I know everyone doesn't have that, but I just wanted to speak to that part that you said, Mandy, about like taking everything for Bible, because I just assume you assume obviously everybody's doing their best, but it doesn't mean that they're not making mistakes.
And you want to assume, but they're not. And like, they'll be coming in, like there's a shift change at 7 p.m. and they'll be there all night. Like I slept at the hospital so many nights because I can sleep anywhere. And I have practiced not sleeping at night because it was like taking care of a newborn home mom, to be honest. Anyway, and there'll be multiple people and they won't like stop to look at you in the eye. I mean, at one point I took the nurse outside and I was like, hi, my name is Amanda Woodruff. Like, this is my dad. And I just was like forcing her to listen. It was almost like, you know, if you've ever been kidnapped or held hostage, it's like humanize yourself to the person with a gun to your head.
Yes.
But like, imagine that for every 12 hours, just wanting to be like, please take care of my dad. He's not just another dude. Yeah. Like, he's not just another, like, you know, guy who is sick, you know, and has gone through this procedure and whatever. Like, don't make assumptions, but everyone carries their bias with them in that regard. But absolutely, like, from the medications they're giving him. I mean, there were times when I just wanted to let my brain go and be like, trust, but you can't.
Okay.
You know, sometimes what they're giving him is not what they should be giving him or the amount that they should be giving him. And so many mistakes can happen.
And costly mistakes.
And I have a shout out my friend Kristen, who is an ICU nurse all the way on the left coast. but she was like my guru and just someone who helped kind of like walk me through it. And yeah, if you don't know someone in the medical field, you don't have to, but find somebody. Yes, find somebody who knows somebody.
I'm not going to lie.
It's worth it. I think it's so worth it. Find, or at least find someone who's gone through a hospital ordeal, like the one that you're going through, like whether it's a surgery or like a trauma, like whatever it is, like find someone who understands the language and the rhythm of care.
There are Facebook groups for certain things. Like I always tell, like whenever my friends have like preschool age children, you know, they always hit me up. So Tiffany, what is this normal? What about this? And so I, if you have children in school, you should have at least one or two teacher friends, you know, because that's really helpful. Like with every aspect of your life, right? It's like, I am always trying to insulate myself with like, if in business, I've got business friends and finance. If there's something I want to learn, I, you know, when I was really starting to think about like really digging into real estate, I have some real estate friends that I get to reach out to, because you can't be an expert in everything, but there are people who are experts, and I make it my business to be like, okay, let me see like, you know, what this person is really good at. Let me lean in. Like Mandy is my negotiation friend. Like for real, when I'm like, how do I, is this going to be enough? How should I ask about this? How should, you know? And so remember I told you last time, you know, Mandy helped me negotiating, so much so that we, what I thought was locked in, girl, but they unlocked it. But it's still, it was $1.2 million worth of contracts, you know, at the end of the year because of a piece of advice that Mandy gave me. So I just, that is an, that's excellent advice, and that having friends, not, obviously the purpose of friendship is connection, but I like to also be intentional about like what additional types of like resources I can lean into when it comes to my friendship. So you're building for connection, but you bring something valuable to the table too. And I like to lean in when I know like my friend Linda, she's like the advocate of all advocates. If there is any sort of like, my mom is sick and she needs this resource or whatever, Linda is the one who's like, well, the state provides, and you can get a ramp and a link vehicle can take them to the doctors. And like, that's Linda, you know? And so
well, or I need like me to- a Linda for Atlanta. If you know a Linda in Atlanta who can help, I mean, I'm not naming names, but help who can help figure out how to get, I mean, I'm not naming names. I don't know who this would be, but like a mid-60s kind of like older man kind who lives by himself and wants no help and thinks he's God, like services to help that person who can't care for themselves or move or like drive.
You know, here's the thing. Remind me, Linda. I mean, remind me, Mandy, because I'll ask Linda, like, does she know a Linda in Atlanta or at least a place to start? Because oftentimes Linda is like, you know what? If you go to this site or call this number, it's a place to start. So yeah, we have to lean into each other. I think, I feel like 2024 and beyond, that in order for us to make it financially, personally, and otherwise, it's going to be, the theme is community. You have to build, lean into, and contribute to your community, because you cannot do this by yourself. You cannot. Like, you want to work on your money? Community. You want to work on your business? Community. You know, health? Community. Your kids? Community. It is just, you cannot... My dad has a phrase, the lone wolf. I'm sure it's like not his phrase, but you know, he's African, so everything belongs to him, according to him. The lone wolf perishes in the winter. No, it's something.
I know the Game of Thrones quote.
Yeah. The lone wolf perishes in the winter, but the pack survives. You know?
So in Game of Thrones, it's the lone wolf dies, but the pack survives.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. I wonder if he got it from that, or if he, or they got it from like an ancient.
That's what you get from not watching TV, Tiff. So, you know nothing, Jon Snow.
So it's just important.
You don't even know who Jon Snow is, right? But
you can't be out here by yourself, basically, you know, that like in all areas of your life. So
that means that I can't curl up into a ball inside of myself and disappear.
I mean, you can temporarily, but then you're going to reach out to your therapist. You're going to call me. You're going to call your other friends. You're going to.
I know. My poor therapist. She needs a therapist for me, for herself, for after talking to me.
Therapist. Like I knew, like one of my friends was like, I'm a therapist. Yeah. Literally a therapist just for therapists.
Yes. That part. All right. Let's shake it off and do little. Boosty breaky.
We're gonna boosty breaky. And now, oh, I remembered it. And now it's time to boost up, break up, boost up, break up, boost up, break. Are you gonna boost? Is you gonna bring? What you gonna do? What you gonna take? Mandy, do you want to go first? Second?
I'm gonna do a break.
Okay. I'm gonna do a booster. I'll go last.
It's not gonna be too dark of a break. However, okay. I need to take a break from the girls on social using Dawn dish soap in their hair. Have you seen this, Tiff?
I've done
also,
that.
Have you ever with your locks? Okay.
Yes, I've done
so
it.
So I think the exception to the rule that I have gathered is that with locks, yes, because it gets buildup and stuff out. But like other hairstyles, like Dawn dish soap, I think that the girls, the influencers, the beauty people, they have run out of things to talk about.
Because it's very stripping.
It's extreme. Like, come on. I mean, my fingers are destroyed because I have to wash baby bottles every day. And that's with the fancy soap, let alone the blue chemical, whatever dye is. That gets oil off of like ducks.
Yes.
You guys saw that episode of Saved by the Bell? Like, come on.
Wait, where have you seen this? I haven't seen this. Is this the new
you
trend?
You have not? Just Google it right now because you'll find a ton of videos. I swear. I just put a...
On TikTok, or on the TikTok soon to be on TikTok.
TikTok, on YouTube, on Instagram. Who knows where it originated from, but it is all on these internets. They're calling it a hack. No, it's not a hack. It is, it's probably second, I feel like, to that chick who got the Gorilla Glue stuck in her head. Thought it was gel or whatever it was that she used. Just don't do it. I mean, if you're going to take risks with your hair, just like use the $2 Suave stuff, you know, like that for me. I feel like
not that that's a risk. I used to use that too. That's funny.
I know. But don't wash your hair or, you know, do. But I would like a break gimmicks, beauty gimmicks. And also, I just got approved to sell on TikTok shop or whatever. And I'm just like, I think I'm getting in my cranky consumerism, anti-consumerism era about social media right now, because everybody is like, it's like, where'd you get your shorts from? Oh, I had the link to my shop in my bio, you know, in my Amazon storefront. And like, it's just like, I'm trying to stay away from that, like that cycle of go on here and think you got to do that thing and, you know, or buy that thing or whatnot. So Dawn dish soap is just where I draw the line. Okay. Y'all?
I'm literally watching. Here's the thing. So, I remember, so especially with locks, because locks essentially, you know, they knot over and then, but buildup can live inside the lock that it's almost impossible to get out. And so Dawn, I don't do it. I mean, I probably say I want to do it max once a year. Because I wash my hair with regular, you know, I don't even use conditioner because conditioner builds up with locks. So when my hair was a fro, I never used Dawn because you don't need to because you don't have to dive deep. Instead, I would just use, I was heavy on the conditioner. When your hair is loose and natural, more conditioner. When your hair is locked, less conditioner because it really builds up. So Dawn would help to like get some of that stuff out that I could not get out with just regular washings, you know?
Those are some of my favorite TikTok videos though, like washing locks, because they'll put it in like, it's just really satisfying to see how the water, you know, runs clear and all that.
So you'll do apple cider vinegar. I've done that. The apple cider vinegar.
The ACV though, I'm down with.
Yeah, although I'm like, ooh, child, your eyes. You're like, my eyes! See, but Dawn too.
You need to get a friend, Tiff, to like, you know, you bend over the sink and someone, you know.
Because once it starts to slip down, it's like, but truthfully, what I love about locks is at least as far as I'm concerned, for my locks, they don't need, locks are very low product necessary because the more products you put on them, quite honestly, the more you have to build up. So it's very low. I don't put any products into my lock really. Like I will do some, edge control, you know, if I'm going to be on TV, but other than that, you're going to get these curly edges because that's how God made me.
They look amazing, by the way. And I like the curl that you have. Although I missed the ringlets.
Yeah, so I'm going to get them back because I was like, you know what? Like, I mean, it still has a little wave. It's holding on to a little wave. It's not super straight. Yeah. So yeah, no. I mean, I get the dong girlies, but to me, if your hair is loose, you are stripping. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, even if you have locks, that should be like very rarely that you have to do all that.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
But I can understand all that. Right. We're in a very consumer-esque world. So my boost is gonna be, so of the amazing women that I met at the White House, one of them, I forget, Jakati Joke. Oh girl, I'm gonna get your name wrong. So some years back, OWN Network reached out to me and said, we want you to be on this like special called like Black Women in Wealth or something like that. And so she was the host. Her name is like, it's like J-A-K-A-T-A, something like that. Jakata or something like that, right? So anyway, beautiful Black woman, locks. She was the host. I met her there. So nice. Afterwards, we end up like all the people who were on the panel and stuff. We end up having dinner at the hotel, but I had not seen her in person since then, but I follow her on social and she's just been living this fabulous life, honey. She's like besties with Oprah because after that OWN Network, Oprah's had her do all these other things. And like host all these other things.
And she's she's a host of it.
Yeah. She's like a host, I guess. Like I would say, so she actually came up in the tech world, super smart. So she used to be like big in tech. I can't remember what big tech company she worked for prior. And then she left that and started investing, but then also started like, you know, kind of like working as a host and then connected with OWN and Oprah. And now that's what she does. But now, so I saw her at the thing. You ever just see, it is so beautiful when you see a Black woman in her soft era. You know, because, you know, we just be out here working, honey. And you can see it. Even if they look beautiful, you could tell the difference between the beautiful pull together because I got to get it together and the beautiful like, girl, I am in. So there was like this blue room that like I imagine kind of like the Oval Office kind of looks like this blue round room that they had us in. And there's a number of rooms they had us in, but it was like one of the prettiest rooms. And she was sitting on the couch. The energy she was radiating was life of luxury and leisure. I just looked at her. I walked over to her. I said, hey, girl, how are you? She said, wonderful. But she said it from her soul. Man. And I was like, really? She said, really? She said, when I tell you I am living the life that I always dreamed of, I was like, really? And she said, yes. And she said, you know, I used to work in tech, made a lot of money, super stressful. But because of working in tech, I learned like there were a lot of colleagues that were investing. So I started to invest learning from them. And so I started investing. And then, you know, I knew, you know, her whole stint with Oprah, which I think she still works there. But now she said, because of her like acumen, it took a number of years, obviously, for investing. She said, I do the thing, like the hosting things and stuff that I like with, you know, Oprah and otherwise, but mostly I live off my investment. She said, girl, I just got back from Copenhagen. Is that how you say Copenhagen? Mm-hmm. Copenhagen, which is Denmark. In Denmark, right? Mm-hmm. She said, I went for dinner. She said, for dinner, just like that. She said, for dinner. She said 36 hours. A friend of mine was like, oh, come have for dinner. Right. And then she was, I just was like, wait, how? And she said, honestly, like I've mentioned this before, you know, if there's income, you have to make it. You have to make more than you spend or spend less than you make. You have to obviously save some for security. You have to invest. You have to learn to invest. And when she said that, she was like, honestly, I really buckled down and leaned into learning how to invest. And it was just like, you know, last week I talked about investing and it just, cause this is the year for me. I've just decided like, you know, how you wanted signs. And I was like, this lady is, I mean, I've met her before and she was happy, but definitely I could tell it was that busy. Like I'm out here, I'm doing it. No, she was sipping on her champagne, chilling on a couch that probably was 200 years old. I mean, just soaking in like, yeah, just a little White House. And then I'm off to this other thing and maybe Copenhagen for dinner. I said, I want Copenhagen for dinner. So anyway, I just share that like, if you're needing your sign of like, whether it's investing in yourself, you know, whether it's like real estate, whether it's business, whether it's the market, if you're needing a sign, I just know that because the way my life is set up now is that I have just enough that if I didn't want to work anymore, I likely could make it. But one really bad oopsie, I'll be back to the grind. So it's not quite, but just enough. And I want more space than that. I want, and also too, I don't want, because the Budgetista had a hard year last year. The Academy is having a hard year this year. We're turning around. And I don't want to live from feast to famine, feast to famine. I don't want to always be like pulling it up. You know, like I want to be able to know that external to business, which I do love, you know, I have other ways to create income for myself that like I have more of a say over, you know, because as much as you work hard in business, like Mandy will tell you that it doesn't guarantee that you have a say. And so for me, I told myself, and I've been hearing the voice of like, Tiffany, you need to start to learn to invest. You need, and I've been like, I do. I invest in business. I do. I bought some real estate, but I'm like in the market, Tiffany. I need you to be confident in the market. And as I'm meeting more and more people that this is kind of the way they supplement whatever else that they're doing, I'm like, no, this is the year that I get my fundamentals feet ready. Like I'm not going to be some, you know, like jazzy. I don't, honestly, I'm not even trying to trade. That's one thing I learned from my friend Terry, is that you don't actually have to actively trade, but I want to like feel confident about investing in the market because there's so many reasons why people don't. And so, yeah. So, and honestly, like, and you know me, like if I want to learn a thing, one of the best ways to learn a thing is to help other people learn a thing. And so like, if you're not sure, like why you're investing, I told Logan, let's do a quiz to figure out why people are not investing. Because really by the end of later on this year, I want to find a solution to that. Because as I try to fix things for myself financially, my thing is always, how can I find a solution for that? So if you're not sure why you're not investing, we're creating this quiz called youshouldinvest.com. So you can get like, is it because you don't have money? Is it because of knowledge? Is it because of fear? Like, why are you not investing? And like, from that quiz, I'm taking like the percentages to see like, where are you struggling the most? So that way I can start to either, if I'm not going to create the tools and resources, because I'm not the Investinista, finding the tools and resources, because it doesn't make sense. I just feel like we can't ignore it another year. You can't budget your way. You can't save your way. You can't even really work your way to the level of security. I just know that like we have to put our money to work. And so if you want to put your money to work, you know, and you want to figure out why you're not investing and help me figure out what tools I need to figure out. Cause I know for myself why I'm not investing is because of lack of knowledge and fear. But if you want to get really clear about why you're not investing, and help me get like some numbers about like what I can do to create or find, youshouldinvest.com. It's just a quick, like 30-second quiz, to help me gather information, but also too, to help me issue. It's not, well, I'm taping it right now. It'll be up by the time this is up. But yeah, youshouldinvest.com because I want to figure it out. I promised myself, I think it was it you, Mandy? It was either you or Brandis. I had asked, how do you, because I'm not always so good at execution and implementation. And you and Brandis, my friend Brandis, are like my top executor friends. And one of the number one things that both you and Brandis said was, one, obviously you determine the goal, which for me is to get my fundamentals for investing. And then two, you make the goal public. You know, and maybe, I don't know if you told me that or Brandis told me that, like, so this is why I'm saying it. Cause I'm just like, you know, I am putting it out there. I am going to get fundamentally strong in investing this year. That is my goal. I'm making it public because it forces me to hold myself accountable. But also too, I want to take more people with me. And so that's what I'm doing. Youshouldinvest.com. Let's go. This is the year. You know, I'm not going to pretend we're going to be some trading, like whatever, but we're at least going to get our fundamentals this year. And then maybe next year we get even deeper into it. But yeah, that is my goal and my promise to myself. Yes, let's do it, girl. We're going to put the link like in the show notes.
Just being around people who normalize wealth is always it's just casual,
right?
You know.
Like just Copenhagen for dinner. I was like, it wasn't even so much the Copenhagen for dinner because I don't know if I'm trying to fly no however many hours just for dinner. It was more so that I realized how rare it was for me to see a relaxed Black woman. Do you know what I mean? Like she was supremely relaxed and in her softness, in her luxury, I mean, the energy that was radiant. And I said, because that's not just money. That is a level of like wealth, meaning like external to just money. Like my money is navigating in such a way that allows me the space of like less worry. You know what I mean? So I don't want you to think it's like, oh, if I have, because there are, I know people who have $20 million. Of
children starving in Gaza. How can she be so calm?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. And that doesn't mean it's and not or. You know what I mean? It's and not or. I know. You know?
Trying to be like a little silly about it, but it's, yeah. No, but it also is like the I, not that I know what she feels like, but it's like what I aspire to is the, is a little bit of like the mental, like the yes. part of your brain when you realize, oh, I got this. Like,
yes.
you know, you move a lot differently when you just have that self reliance and trust that things will be okay and that you've got yourself, like that kind of unbothered.
Yes. That's what I was feeling, that it was like, not that, I mean, obviously she's an intelligent woman. I mean, we didn't talk about guys or anything like that, obviously, but there was just a sense of like, I don't know, like, I just don't see that in Black women, which is so sad. And I know a lot of Black women with a lot of money. So it wasn't just the money. You know, I know people who have $60 million in the bank. Shorty, what you think?
Peace.
And it's, they're not given that. It was something else. But when she said, I am investing my way through life. I really was like, that's, and I, what I heard is that I'm making enough from myself to support myself, that like I am in charge. No one is like creating the opportunity that if I need it, I can go and do it because I know what to do. And I've heard that from a few of my friends that like hardcore, like invest, you know, where it's like, you know, I have friends who are in real estate, child, they stressed because being a landlord is not easy. You know, my friends in business, child, we stress. Check up on your business friends. But yeah, so that was the part. I mean, obviously there's no guarantee investing in the market. That's not it. But I'm just saying that like, that was just my sense, is that she didn't feel a victim to, she felt like empowered, and that empowerment left her like, at least in that moment, because I don't see her all day, every day, in that moment, left her like feeling like light and easy. And so much so, like I wasn't the only person who walked up to her. People who didn't know her were like, what do you do? What's going on with you? Because she just was just giving that ease. And so we're going to get there. I'll put the link in the show notes, youshouldinvest.com. But I am committed for myself, and also committed, the teacher in me is committed to figuring out the tools and resources that we can use to get there together. Together.
Take me to Copenhagen, too. What kind of food do they have out there?
I don't know, right?
Oh, that's awesome, though. Good for her. And just a quick note on, I should have done this as my little baby boost, but talk about unbothered and Black. Stedman, Oprah Stedman,
no,
eating octopus every day.
Oh, girl, I saw that. I said, oh, not a whole, I mean, well, I love octopus. I had some 2 days ago. It's delicious. I know this
one. For breakfast?
I know.
Every morning, but like also what, you mean, Stedman, just get your octopus every morning. Because you're married to effing, or not married, sorry. Yes. You're partnered with Oprah effing Winfrey. You got your own money. Just like live your best life.
But that is kind of crazy.
That is so strange, but God bless. God bless. All right, BA fam, catch us on Friday for the BA Q&A.
Leave us a review, okay? Because they're cute. Do we have any reviews?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, we have a.
We might read them.
Yes, I will. I have a new one that I just saw. March 18th. That was yesterday.
Yes.
Amazing. Tiffany and Mandy are so amazing. They give out such good information, especially for everyday situations. I loved the episode on life insurance. Ooh. Thank you, ladies. And this person's name is what? Miss Number One? Is that it? Yeah. I guess you can call yourself, Miss Number One. So thank you, Miss Number One. You're the best. And if you guys want to leave us a review, please do. Go to, what is it called now? It's not iTunes. I'll date myself. Apple Podcasts?
I guess so. Leave us a review. Also, share the episode if it's helpful. If you think it's awesome, share it so we can get outside.
Oh, you sound like my favorite Black Forager girl.
You know I love a good song.
Because I'm a filthy vegan.
Look at Mandy smile. We made her smile, guys. You're doing it, Peter. Where's that from?
I'm doing it. Peter Rabbit?
Peter Pan. Remember when Robin Williams was Peter Pan?
Yeah.
And he was sitting down with the Lost Boys and they were eating, but it was like pretend food because he was a grown up. He couldn't see that for them with their kid mind, they could see that it was real food to them and they were enjoying it because he had grown up. He was like, there's nothing in these pots. And they're like, you have to use your imagination. Mm. And so he was like, what?
That movie made me sad. Yeah, it was good.
Yes. And then at one point, somebody threw a pie and it hit his face. And then like he realized like, oh, there is actually food here. And one of the kids said, you're doing it, Peter. So that's like my favorite when like people are coming over to the other side. And I'm like, oh, look at Mandy smiling. You're doing it, Peter. You're doing it.
Thank goodness. It feels natural, whereas it was forced at the beginning. But yes, that's the Tiffany effect. It's the Brown ambition effect. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All right, y'all. Until Friday.
All right. Bye-bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.